name's Robin Landon, one of the directors of the Black Epi Leadership Group, and I'm delighted to introduce episode 5 of our live stream series, co-produced with Epi News. What does anti-racism mean to me? To me, it means action. The time for policies and procedures is over, and now is the time for all individuals to look at themselves in the mirror and ask themselves what they can do to make a difference. I'm delighted to pass you now over to our guests and to our co-hosts. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Welcome, everyone, to episode 5 of Anti-Racism in Action. Today, we're going to be looking at West Yorkshire, and we've got a really, really good show. Before we start, we've had some really good points raised, and also I've belly laughed a few times, which is always a good sign for a good show. I'm joined by my co-anchor, who is Amajit, who is one of the executive directors of the Black Epi Leadership Group. Amajit, one of you could join us into the studio. Hi, Amajit, how are you? You're on mute at the minute, I'm afraid, Amajit.
Okay. Morning, Gavin. Sorry about that. Good to see you.
No worries. It's that's the perils of the job with the I've got first time wearing his headset actually. So yeah. I was thinking I was gonna do exactly the same thing. Really, really interesting show. We've got two really, really interesting guests. Stella, as always, has been brilliant with being able to give me a bunch of really brilliant stats. It's totally co-produced with FE News and Black FE Leadership Group. And honestly, without the support of Stella and the team, these shows just wouldn't be as amazing as what they are. I think everyone's really, really been enjoying it. Looking at today at the West Yorkshire, and particularly West Yorkshire Combined Authority, Amajit, you gave me a really interesting stat about Bradford. I didn't know if you wanted to share that with everyone to maybe set the scene.
Yeah, when we were looking at some research that we did with Bradford is the fastest growing young ethnically diverse population in the whole of the UK. That's driven predominantly by South Asian communities, but it's young, it's vibrant. The school roll now comprises over 50% of people from Asian background.
That's really, really interesting. We're talking to Chris about that in just a bit. Stella provided some really cool stats, as so did ONS. So the Office for National Statistics, the 2020 population estimate for the West Yorkshire Combined Authority region is 2.3 million people. 81.8% of the population is white. The largest black heritage group is Asian, so exactly what you're saying, what you found from the studies in Bradford. The proportion of Asian-owned businesses in West Yorkshire is 11%. Bradford comprises of one of the largest black working age populations of 38%. Well, that's going to be increasing very soon from the stats that you're seeing there. But as always, is what we've found in every single one of these episodes and shows, is that black groups are underrepresented in the workforce, in local government, NHS, in FE, particularly in management and leadership roles. And that's what we're trying to address today. So I wonder if we could bring in our guest. But Amajit, I wonder first of all if you could introduce both Chris and Palvinder, because I know you're working really, really close with both. Yeah. And the ecologies.
Thanks, Gavin. I've had the privilege, really, of the last 12 months to get to know Chris and Pally. Whilst they're very, very different personalities, there's quite a lot of synergy between the two of them. And the first unique fact is that whilst they're both leaders in West Yorkshire, they actually started by working together in South Yorkshire. So I can't help by, you know, sort of opening up and inviting both colleagues to say, what's the difference between South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire? Chris first.
So Chris, wonder if you could join us in the studio, and Palvinder, one if you can as well. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. Wow, first great question to upset everybody. coming from an Essex boy, asking what's the difference between South and West Yorkshire. Pally and I spent some time working together at Barnsley College. And so I'm just going to make a comparison between Barnsley and Bradford. Barnsley College was mainly a tertiary college. There was very little competition in terms of 16 to 18, whereas Bradford is hugely competitive. It's a much bigger city. It's not a small metropolitan borough. But obviously, there's a huge difference in the demographics of the communities that we serve. So Barnsley was predominantly high 90% in our college were white students, white 16 to 18 students, Whereas here at Bradford in West Yorkshire, 70% of my class-based learners are from BAME backgrounds. I have over 12,000 adults here, predominantly studying at ESOL and return to work and DWP type programs. So that's a huge difference between the two colleges in the two areas. Without going kind of wider in terms of the social differences there, but I'll pass across to Palvinder because he's a local boy.
Yeah, so Kirklees College is based in Huddersfield and Dewsbury, and I do and Chris is right. I'm a local lad. I've got the privilege to actually lead the college that I went to. There is a big difference between Kirklees and West Yorkshire in general, and South Yorkshire and Barnsley in particular, and that is the political landscape, and that's mainly because of the demographic and population type. The demographic and population type is as Chris has described. Historically, West Yorkshire has attracted migration, which was the mill towns, the old mill towns, and that kind of workforce. Whereas the South Yorkshire was the old mining working class communities, and still very much within those kind of heavy industries. And the migration, migration happened in the spaces like my parents decided to come to West Yorkshire. And migration to South Yorkshire has been a little bit later in the type of Sheffield, in the Sheffield city region, as opposed to the surrounding towns. Another unique thing is when Chris and I were at Barnsley, I was saying this earlier to Chris, that I think Barnsley probably had at that time, you know, Outstanding College 2010, it at that time had probably one of the most diverse senior teams in the sector, from what I can remember, actually, despite the fact that the BNP would drive past my office with their bollards and tannoy, promoting their policies for local elections, and UKIP and the BNP were quite live within those areas and still are in those areas. So I think the political landscape is very different, but West Yorkshire is a more dynamic space in terms of its migration makeup.
Yeah, no, that's really, really helpful. It sort of rolls into our next sort of question, really. But just to highlight, Chris, you're at Bradford College, Palvinder, you're at Kirklees College, and you know, CEO and principals of both. Just got a bit excited jumping into the question about being getting people wound up about Yorkshire, really, about not introducing. With Bradford, yeah, you're looking at 20,000 students. Also, I want to ask a little bit later about the skills partnership research pilot that you guys have been doing as well. And Kirklees, working with around 1,000 employers around West Yorkshire, which, you know, two really busy, really thriving colleges. But what is the, Palvinder, you sort of covered it, really. There's quite a, if we're talking about Bradford around, you know, some of the, fastest sort of growing ethnic, you know, diversity sort of growth. But at the same time, Palvinder, you're talking about wider Yorkshire, around people driving past feeling it's okay with placards around BNP. There's a little bit of a sort of change of makeup there around stuff that needs to obviously be addressed. So what are the main challenges which are faced, particularly in West Yorkshire, particularly being a devolved area? What do you see as the main challenges in your region at the moment?
There's many, Gavin. You know, there's many, many challenges. There's challenges, again, from the political space of exclusion and language of diversity and aggression. So, you know, unfortunately, West Yorkshire, you know, suffered, you know, the murder of an MP. In my kind of area, which actually neighbours onto Bradford. You know, it's right in between the both of our kind of districts. So the political space is quite challenging. And because you know, you've got people with different sets of views, which are then played out nationally and internationally. And I wrote about this. I don't know if you remember, Gavin.
I do remember. I was going to say.
A few years ago, back in 2015, 2016, about the whole thing to do with political noise playing out in front of students and on their devices. And then what is the role of pedagogy and teacher within managing that kind of noise that is happening outside in their digital spaces? And, you know, how we as practitioners are dealing with that. And I don't think we've done enough on that. So I think that is one of our big challenges, that this isn't just about region. This is about leadership and leadership on a bigger sense. So, you know, Chris and I have got big roles to play in this, but so have our political leadership.
Yeah, no, I do remember that article very, very well. And I remember when everything was starting to happen with Black Lives Matter, when it was, you know, things happening in the US and coming to you. That was probably the main reason why I reached out to you. Remember that well on LinkedIn, messaging you saying, I really, really need an article to balance this. So thank you for that. Chris, I wonder if you could sort of jump in there as well.
Yeah, just really following up on Pally in terms of the political. One of the challenges I think we face, and I think the colleges in West Yorkshire, there are seven main colleges, work actually very well together, and that is a bigger difference probably to South Yorkshire, our experience in South Yorkshire. I mean, it helps that three of the CEOs have all come from Barnsley that are in the West Yorkshire, so we're used to arguing and collaborating. But collaboration in West Yorkshire for skills and education and for the colleges is absolutely critical. What we don't want is people being left behind because communities are forgotten or left behind. So, you know, a little bit controversially maybe, sometimes the local authorities are kind of pegging for them for their own community or for their own patch, rather than having a very joined up regional approach that's gonna benefit everybody. So we've got a new mayor, Tracy Brabin, who was in the Joe Cox's MP seat, and is now moved to become the mayor of the region. And I think it's going to be really important for the colleges to continue to talk to Tracy and the combined authority about how do we move the region. I don't want to use kind of sort of passe phrases about leveling up, but how do we level up everybody? How do we not leave people behind? I mean, these are all phrases that people have used before that are very good taglines, maybe. And Palvinder's a marketing expert amongst us today. But how do we actually do it? Because so often you get these taglines, leveling up, build back better. You get all of these, and you go, great, and then no one does anything about it. And the personal journey that I've been on since I've been here at Bradford and coming back to the anti-racism is it's not enough just to sit there and say it's wrong. You need to do something about it. Otherwise, it never changes. So the colleges have we're embedded in our communities, but we need to be embedded not only in our communities, but but have a regional outlook to support each other as colleges so that we can do it for everybody. So that nobody is left behind, so that everybody has an opportunity. And I think that's, I think, you know, Pally and I have talked a little bit about some of the dangers around, segregation within communities. And within Bradford, you do notice that you've got different community areas that don't engage. And one of the things that we kind of really try hard here at the college is to be very inclusive, but try to get people to engage with people from different postcodes. I hear lots of students talk about postcode differences here. That reminds me of my time in London when there were like postcode differences. And trying to get people away from this postcode mentality that actually we just need to have a fully inclusive, we have a very diverse college and that everybody's fully engaged with it. So,
Gavin, can I come in here just to draw both Palvinder and Chris? you've strongly and really clearly identified some of the challenges, which are very, very unique. But I know as personalities, you're optimists, and therefore, you know, what from your organization's perspective, have you seen the opportunities for you to occupy this particular space in the context of leadership? Pally first.
Yeah, thanks, Amajit. I think the BFELG has really helped to offer solutions to those optimisms. So the 10-point plan in itself is really, really good, you know, on face value. But it's really meaningful in the way that it can be used and adopted. So having this conversation, Amajit, and with Gavin, having an anti-racism in action conversation is acting on parts of the 10-point plan. And that is something that we've never done before. So we've done action plans, we've done EDI plans, we've done, you know, over my 20 years in FE, and Chris, you know, we worked together for a short period, and you know, we talk about things to do with equality, inclusion, diversity. We never really talked about anti-racism. You know, and that's just in one college example that Chris and I worked at, which was outstanding. And I've worked in many other colleges, and we never really, because it's uncomfortable, Amajit. It's uncomfortable. And what the BFELG has really allowed us to do is to have an uncomfortable conversation and a purposeful, real conversation, really meaningful conversation in a optimistic way. So the whole title of this event about making the best of a diverse Britain and those opportunities that come with that is exactly, you know, what we need to be doing. So I'm really interested in, from me and my organization, and then the sphere of influence and working with other systems leaders like Chris and yourself and Gavin and other people, how we take that optimism, how we take that plan that's been well articulated and it's got some real gravitas in terms of its intellectual thought that sits behind it.
Yeah.
How we take that and how we put that into DNA, not into action. And I know this is about anti-racism into action, but I want to get to a point where this isn't about action. This is about every day, because it becomes part of our DNA.
And I thought you exemplified that brilliantly earlier on when you mentioned some of the political challenges and played that against pedagogical approaches for people. And of course, point one of the 10-point plan is about pedagogy. It's about teaching and learning and curriculum. So that was fantastic. Chris, invite you to respond the same way. Opportunities from your organization's perspective.
Yeah, so I've now been at Bradford about two and a half years, which, God, that goes so quickly, during a really unprecedented time with the pandemic. And it's been an incredible journey. So I've been on a personal journey as well. I kind of like quoting famous people, and one of my absolute heroes is Muhammad Ali, because I'm a sports person. Said that if you're the same person, if you have the same views at 50 as you had at 30, you've wasted 20 years. And I'm just on a complete personal journey. I would never have said that I was racist, a year, 2 years ago. And I didn't have, you know, there was a whole raft of unconscious bias, but actually this personal journey has highlighted the idea, you know, and has made me explore in the last year, the ideals around, you know, privilege. And it's not that I haven't worked hard to get where I am. It's that actually I've benefited from a system that is, unfortunately, either institutionally or systematically racist in most instances, and that it's mostly unconscious. And what we don't know what you don't know, is that phrase. So my other phrase that I always use in all is education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And that's why I absolutely love working in FE. We can transform this world without the institutions that we lead, if we're prepared to reflect and look in the mirror and actually do stuff and decide that it's not just going to be about making a few, you know, putting your vision and your values out there on a bit of paper and then just carrying on normally, actually going about and doing something. And as Pally said, putting it in day-to-day action. It reminds me of when we talk about quality in colleges. Quality isn't something that you roll out for Ofsted or the QAA. It's something that you embed every day. So anti-racism and equality and inclusiveness are things that we should be doing every day as a matter of course. The first thing we need to do is educate ourselves about it, learn about it, and everybody can learn something about it. Yeah. And my experience here at the college has been fantastic because actually it is quite scary to come out. It was quite, when I was asked to come onto this, I was like, I'm not too sure I want to put myself out there, but occasionally you have to, you know, as leaders, as Pally said, we're leaders in the sector to put yourself out there. But actually what I found is people have been, everybody at the college has been really great at saying, Chris, come down. Let me kind of educate you about our culture and why we do things and our history. And we've done a lot of things. The opportunities for us, Amajit, have been to actually, the college has gone through quite a difficult journey in the last few years. It's been in the press and everybody knows about it. But part of that has been allowing people to come forward. We talk a lot about leadership, but leadership just doesn't come from the top. It comes from everywhere in your organisation. And actually, for me I've picked up on, you know what, I don't have the answers to everything. I don't have the answers for the world. But the benefits of having a very diverse workforce and a very diverse student base is you have a very diverse base from which to have ideas from. And that's invaluable. Many, you know, we talked about the diversity on the Barnsley leadership team. One of the reasons why it probably was an outstanding college was because it had diversity of thought. Mm-hmm. Very rare, you know, we don't talk about the benefits enough of diversity in our colleges and drawing from all the different experiences. So actually, that personal journey that I've been on has been really supported and helped by everybody else in the college. And you just need to open up and listen and not close your mind off to it, you know, and not consistently think, well, I've always done it this way and it's worked, or no, this is the right way to do it, but to make sure that you give everybody a voice and you empower, and you know, you give people the opportunity to make a difference, and people thrive on that. It motivates them, I've found, and it's been just amazing to sit here at the college and watch everybody respond in the last 12 months, not only to the pandemic, but to the challenges that we've faced, as well as to, you know, the whole Black Lives Matters, a whole raft of work. And it's not just, you know, we're talking about anti-racism into action today, but it's not just about that in terms of equality. You know, there's a whole raft of intersectionality that we see here. That makes an even bigger difference. You know, being male and white is a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Being BAME and female makes, you know, there are even more ceilings and barriers which people need to overcome. So just having that opportunity to listen to people and give them the opportunity to do positive work here with the students has been, you know, been the best thing that I've seen.
We're really, I'm two more things I want to ask you both, Palvinda and Chris, and we've only got like 5 minutes left, and I'm frustrated because I'm really keen. I know you guys are doing so much good stuff. Chris, you said so many times about action, not just talking about it, but doing. Palvinda, I wonder if you could share some of the things, just really briefly, which is a shame because I want to be able to give you longer for it, around some of the action points you're actually doing as a leader in the college.
So I'm 6 months in, I think, into this role. So I'm And I'm in a very privileged position because my predecessor had signed the organisation up to the BFDLG. So that is one role that is carrying on, and we're signed up and we're going to implement the 10-point plan. But alongside that is we're doing our strategic review. And Chris talked about values, and we're starting with values. So what is the purpose of Kirklees College? Why do you come to work in the morning? What difference do you make within the space of, you know, what does our college look like? What does it feel like? So we've had, I think, quite a transformative staff development day. It was online, it was a whole day on Friday before half term. And it was fantastic. You know, it was a fantastic experience to listen from people from different backgrounds, from different experiences, to what it means to be an educator within the FE space, dealing with dynamic and cross-section and interspacing backgrounds of students that Chris has kind of identified. So I'm starting with values. And then just picking up on another point that Chris had said, you know, values will feed into our culture. And that then goes beyond any action plan. But where does our culture come from? Well, the scene is set by the leader.
Yeah.
And this is why I come back to politicians. The leadership sets the scene of what is the culture of our country. Not just our region, but of our country. And there's a number of things that we need to do. And I think this whole space of anti-racism in action, now is the time. Because I'm not going to sit here in another 30 years' time with my grandchildren going, that's a waste of 30 years. What could I have done?
Yeah.
So I think there's a huge amount of work to do, Gavin, but this is about partnership. This is about collaboration. This is about us working together on this agenda.
Yeah, no, definitely. Chris, can I ask you quick? I'm sorry, time has just so disappeared so fast. What action have you been doing in the college? Because I just think it's really important just to be able to share it and inspire people, really.
Yeah, don't disagree with anything that that Pally says. Pally and I work completely in different ways, though. So one of the first things I did was through the ETF was to get a project with the Black FE Leadership Group. To actually, you know, do some research into what we didn't know, and we've now got that report, and we're working from that report, and we'll put the 10-point action plan in there, because actually, yeah, so many people kind of just got on the bandwagon, and I remember thinking, not going to do that, but actually going to try to do something about it. That's, you know, the idea of it being a movement rather than a moment. And, you know, you do feel that some have kind of moved on. Oh, it's all climate change this week, isn't it? So we did that. We've got that plan back. We got money from the DfE to look at our governing body. Part of the work that we've been doing is, and I've been learning about, is place-based leadership. So we've done a whole raft of recruitment onto our governing body, because leadership is key. And actually, we've recruited local, and our governing body now is far more diverse than it was when I arrived. And it was the board it was for a number of reasons. But we've now got a very diverse board that are local and that are committed to Bradford. We've also reconstituted the student union so that it takes more account of student voice. We're working with groups like the Muslim Women's Council, which are creating groups within the college to look at ideas and projects that particularly influence Muslim females within the college. And most recently, I decided to appoint a vice principal for ED&I onto the executive, because here at Bradford, we are an all-white executive, and actually, we've done some positive work. But one of the things is, I don't feel that as much as I can be a leader of the college, that I need to be an ally, I need to support, and I need to empower. But actually, I need somebody who can come into the college who can really challenge and be disruptive to the current way of thinking. So hopefully they'll start in January. We've got somebody again local. I can't name names because I'm not sure that they've told their current employer that they'll be leaving. But really excited to bring someone onto the executive, because that's where whole college, whole policies and decisions are made. And unless you have that diversity at that level, actually, you know, we are the gatekeepers. And unless you get the right gatekeepers on there with the diverse thinking, you'll never move it forward. So they're just some of the things amongst my students and staff will tell you a whole raft of different stuff that they're along the ground that's far more exciting, to be honest, in the college. But they're some of the things that I've personally been involved in.
That's really, really great. And thank you, everyone, for Chris, for being so, you know, being brave to come on. You know, the one thing that the sector goes and talks about a lot is being, I don't want to put my head above the parapet, and it does take courage to do it. And Palvinda, for just sharing, being really honest and straight and saying, look, this is what you experienced in the past, this is what you're going through at the moment. And Amajit, as always, our time is gone, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Just a one-liner. Amajit, what would you want to see as an action point going forward for West Yorkshire?
From my learnings of West Yorkshire, if the broader leadership across the authority could exemplify the attitudes of these two guys, we'd be in a better place.
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%. Palvinda, what would you want to see?
I want to see policymakers who look for lived experience within their decision making. Mm-hmm. And that includes me as well, because I come with a lens. So whatever decision that we're all making, we need to have in mind the lived experience of the people that we're affecting.
Yeah, no, definitely. Chris, what would you want to see?
I'd like to see, for Bradford College, but for all the colleges, really, I'd like us not to be institutions around about skills and education. I want us to be catalysts of change for social change and social justice, because we are in that position and we are in that arena that we can make that distance. So being the catalyst for positive social change, that's what we need to do.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. I hope you felt inspired. Amajit, really, really great show. Stella in the background, thank you for putting this all together. Palvinda, Chris, thank you so much for taking time out today. I know you both got busy days, so Chris, tell me about your morning already, and it sounds like you got a bit of a manic one. Join us next week, 9:30. We're going to be talking about West Midlands, another region again. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and I hope you feel inspired as much as what I do. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes.
See you later.
Bye.